Welcome to the Wally Show After Castle, the things we didn't get to during the course of the show today, including meeting some people that we've interacted with for years. DJ Jane, like you, anytime I see your email come up, I know exactly who you are, but it's nice to actually meet you guys, and you've got nieces and nephews and grandnephews and all that stuff, yeah. And your mom here, everybody's here today.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been good to come down and finally get to meet you guys.
I know, it's crazy. Like, it's funny for us because, like, when you interact with somebody for so many years, you're like, oh yeah, I know them, I know who they are, but then like you get to put a face with it, because people always talk about that with us, like, oh, we got to put a face with the name, but it's the same thing for us. We're like, oh, there she is.
So that's
crazy. So where did you come from?
I came from Kitsill, Ohio.
Okay.
Which is near Ironton.
Which is near
Portsmouth.
Which is
a
near
a lot of people know Portsmouth.
Give us a big city, lady.
Okay, the biggest city closest to me is Huntington, West Virginia.
Okay.
And that's about 30 minutes away.
Really? Mm-hmm. Near West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I grew up about 45 minutes from where Michael W. Smith grew up.
Oh, no way. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Now, are you a Michael W. Smith fan?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. he's still making music.
He's a homeboy, man.
That's true. That's very true. Jane was surprising me with all of the knowledge she had about the show. Like, it's crazy. Like, we'll talk about something, and she's like, oh, this, and this. And then there's a guy that used to be our boss. He was actually just visiting today. He was in town for a convention, and we're like, Farron, and she's like, oh, there's Farron. Like, wait, how do you know Farron, man? Like, you have been committed to being a potty for a while.
Yeah.
So
it's
potties.
It's like a stalkerish. It's kind of scary.
A little, but it's okay. But I like it.
It's the good kind of stalking.
Yeah. Good. Like, you're not scary. See, there's a difference.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can have that kind of knowledge and you're not creepy. So it's like, oh, that's really cool. But then somebody else could have the same knowledge, but they wig you out.
Right. So. Well, I think there for a while for him and DC Talk may have had me on a list.
Really?
Because I would follow them everywhere.
Did you do the whole, like go to like every show?
Like a roadie?
A lot of shows.
Yeah.
Like, we would go to Cincinnati and Columbus.
Yeah.
Charleston, West Virginia, usually. But most of the time it was in that area. But yeah, I would go see. I think I've seen For Him at least 10 times. DC Talk / Michael or Toby Mac, I've seen probably about 15.
It's funny because before I got into Christian radio, I saw Avalon no less than 10 times, and I don't even know how. My wife, it was like they were stalking us.
Yeah.
We would be like in Georgia at, you know, a fair, and all of a sudden, like, please welcome to the stage, Avalon. Like, what in the world? Like, and then they'd be at a church I was at, and I'm like, I don't know if it was God preparing me to come to Christian radio or not. Yeah, and I saw them more than I'd seen any other band coming into this job. And then I got here, and then I saw, you know, everybody and saw them. So what's your favorite show that you've seen? Who is it?
Toby Mac does a great
show. Yeah, he does.
And I'm going to see him next month, too, in Charleston.
Okay. So restraining order.
Probably. You
know, I'll let him know.
You may need to do that.
There's this one guy that would, like you're giving every other potty a run for their money right now. Like, guys, this is how you do this. This is how you do the potty life right now. This lady's amazing. But there's a guy that would give you a run for your money on meeting bands, Joey Tran.
Mm-hmm.
He's this Asian dude that the bands all know because he goes to shows 4 times a week, travels all over the country to do it. And I remember, like, I see him at all these shows, no matter where I'm at, especially Mercy Me and For King Country. Those are his two favorites. And we were there one time. And I said, Joey, how in the world do you afford to go to all these shows and do this stuff? And he just looks at me and goes, Crazy Rich Asian.
I'm like, okay. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was so funny. I'm like, all right, well, that explains it. At least now I know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's crazy. So you, is there a band you haven't seen that you would like to see yet?
I would love to see CC Winans.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen her live either. I mean, we've talked to her before. She's super nice.
Yeah.
But no, I've seen her on, like, the Doves.
Yeah.
And she crushes it.
Yeah. Anytime I've seen her.
Yeah.
I see a lot of her videos, but nothing live.
Yeah.
That
would
be great live.
Yeah. She would be really good. Thank you, too, for bringing gifts. You did not have to. You don't have to bring gifts when you come here. But the Beaver Nuggets, very appreciated for me. Gavin, she brought you something for the new little one.
I know. It's a cute onesie. The last person who visited brought a little blanket for the kid. So it's fun.
It's going to be all for the kid now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Your whole life will be that now.
And every time, I mean, we're still at that point, too, where we go to stores and we walk out with a onesie every time if there's something there. So
with these kids, I told someone, I was like, I'm not afraid to bribe them.
Yeah, absolutely. I was always the fun uncle until I had my own kid. Then I'm like, you guys are dead to me. Like now I got my own problems. I'm tired.
Well, you have to spend all your money on your own kid.
I know, exactly. Well, people doing things for your kids is always nice. So that's always, always appreciated.
It almost feels like you almost, I'm starting to understand that there's more of an appreciation for something that's given to my future kid than if someone were to just give me something.
I would rather that. When I had a little one, I would much rather that someone did something nice for my kid. That was always, always appreciated. And Betty's one of my kids, and so she will love the Bob Ross earrings that you brought her. So I cannot wait for her to see these. She'll lose her mind.
I can't wait for it either.
You'll have to do a video. I'll do a video and send it to you.
Yeah.
Because she'll love that. So she should be back. If you've been following along, obviously you're a potty. She's out. We cleaned that mic, by the way, that you're on, because that's her.
Well, I'm sure she probably did before she left.
Yeah, no, yeah. She is so vigilant, let's say, about the hand. Like, even, now I would say it would be annoying if it was just, like, vigilant against me, you know, kind of thing. But like, she, when she goes to eat her own lunch, will go and wash her own hands before she makes something or whatever. So you're like, okay, this is just who you are.
Well, that one day when she was using his computer, she wiped it down.
Yeah,
she wasn't feeling
good. Did she really?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
I know she wiped down my area. I didn't know she
everything.
What a psychopath.
Yeah. She's not right.
And still got sick.
Oh, yeah. It's all Betty's fault.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Betty started all this.
Yeah, come on, Betty.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into some of the stories today here that we didn't get to. Kevin Hart, okay, he's a big celebrity, and he is, he has contracts and writers and things like that. If you don't know what a writer is, it's what the contract, it's a section in a contract for an artist that tells the promoter what they need to do for them. Mm-hmm. And every artist will have some sort of a writer, even Christian artists. You know, you need to provide this and this kind of drink or this kind of meal. Some bands were like crazy, like, okay, you need to provide 8 packs of white tube socks, you know, and it gets down to that. Van Halen, the big one was, you know, bowls of M&Ms with all the green M&Ms removed. And the legend of that was, the manager put it in there to know that if you read the contract that thoroughly and did that, then you were going to be very meticulous with everything and treat the band well.
Yeah.
But Kevin Hart, it's interesting. He has a writer for his that says that the venue has to get him a police escort. Under no circumstances are vehicles allowed to encounter delays due to traffic. So he can't just be picked up from the airport with like a runner, as they call him.
And that's
a police escort.
Yeah.
That's baller.
That's hardcore slash. I mean, you can't always plan for stuff to.
Yeah.
I love not having traffic, and we drive at times of day that normally don't have traffic. But like that's expecting the whole world to.
I don't know what's involved in getting a police escort.
I don't either.
Like, how much is that? Is that something you can do for fun?
Like,
yeah.
You call 911. Like, I need a escort.
Like, if you call, well, I know you don't do that.
I know.
But
you
like, if you call the police and you say, okay, I have somebody in that we need a police escort for them from the hotel, and then you say it's Kevin Hart, and they go, yes, fine, we get it, we'll do that. If you do that for me, I'm going into a city, and they say, hey, yeah, we got this guy that needs a ride from the airport. Who is it? Wally. Wally who?
Who?
Wally from WayFM. What's that? And then, and like, could I get a police escort?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably not. It probably does cost a lot
of
money.
Well, you have to pay.
Yeah,
because you got to pay for it, for sure. Like, back in the day, Disney, when you would go to Disney, you would see, they call them plaid vesters. So you'd see a person with a plaid vest, usually a white hat, and you'd look for the people they were with, and they would usually have a ball cap and sunglasses. They were the tour guides for celebrities. And so if you were a celebrity, that's how you were able to get through the park, and they handled everything for you, and they walked you through, and they kind of handled the crowds for you and things like that. Now, though, you can pay to have a plaid vester for you and your family.
Oh, interesting.
And they have a limit. You have to do it for a minimum of, I think, 6 hours, and there's a limit of like 10 people or something. There's different packages, but it's a couple grand. But say you had three families and you didn't want to wait in line all day, and you wanted to be taken care of, and you wanted someone to go and help you get food, and they'll take you, you know, to the back of the ride so that you get right on. Like, that $2,000 is looking way better split three or four ways.
If you've got that cash and that inflow, like that flow, I wouldn't criticize anybody for doing
that. No, and you feel like a baller. Like, how great would that be?
I don't like waiting in line for, you know, this world. It's a small world. I was in that line for an hour and 20 minutes.
And that ride should be the fastest ride there. Peter Pan also takes forever. Just nonstop.
It's fun, but it's not that fun.
Kevin Hart was saying that his escorts, the police are to escort him to the venue, but then the police are not allowed to be in the backstage, in the dressing rooms, in the hallway, at front of house, at the mixed position, or in front of the stage.
If
I'm a cop, I'm like, wait, so you're using me to get you here, and now you want nothing to do with me because you don't like that I'm a cop?
Yeah.
Like, that seems really jacked up.
I don't know.
It does, right?
Yeah.
I don't want cops at my show because it sends the wrong message or the wrong vibe. It's like, but they were good enough to drive you there, so, like, that's wrong.
It's a weird handle. It sounds like a millionaire's handling of something.
Yeah.
Which is just odd.
Be a nice problem to have.
It would be.
Here we got one more story that we didn't get to today. We were trying to get to this. You know, we do this on Good News Giddy Up. A lot of times you see somebody that lost a wedding ring and somebody finds it and they get it back to them. I don't know how that happens. Like, you take a picture of it, you post it on Facebook, and then a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend starts to see it. I'm always amazed by social media connections with people. DJ Jane being here today is a great example. She knows the show, is a potty. And then Chad, our prayer pastor, comes in. He's like, Jane's here. And, I know her from the prayer wall. like, what? Okay. So, like, I get it. It's like, it's all these connection points, you know? But I don't, like, this one was kind of a fun story, though. This guy discovers, he's using his metal detector. He finds a lost wedding ring. He somehow tracks the lady down. And it's like, hey, I will bring you the ring back. And the lady is like, nah, I'm good. And he's like, no, it's okay. It's not a problem. I'll make sure you get it. It's still in great shape. She's like, nope, that's from my ex. He probably threw it in the river, and so I don't want it back.
It's funny because, the normal ending for that, especially if you're that guy who found it, is like, I'm going to, like, give them back. This is going to be the happiest moment of their lives. And she doesn't want it.
Oh, yeah. And so she told him, thank you for trying to do the right thing. You can toss it, keep it, or sell it. Don't care.
Probably sell it.
And he's trying to sell it.
That's what he's trying to do.
It's really hard, though. Like, when you try to do the right thing and then it doesn't go the way you want it to go. Like, I've had that happen. Oh, my gosh. During Hurricane Katrina, I was working at a mainstream rock station, and there were a lot of people that were coming into Atlanta. They'd been displaced by the hurricane in New Orleans. And it was one of those big national news stories. They were going to Houston and Atlanta and any cities nearby. And they were just refugees, basically, and they needed help. And so I was busting my back. I'd do the morning show all day. And then I wanted to do something good at this rock station we were at. And so I'm busting my back for these people. And, you know, and I met with so many people that were so ungrateful. Like, we're putting them up in hotels for free, and we're doing all this stuff. We're feeding them. We're getting them taken care of. And they were so ungrateful. And then I had this one person, like, steal from a lady who offered her house to them. I'm like, oh, my goodness. It was so maddening. But then I had to realize, and it was years later, because in the moment, I still wasn't living out my faith and stuff, and I was just mad. And it made me jaded towards people, and I was frustrated. And as I've gotten here and I've gotten years past that, I've learned something as I've kind of grown in my faith. It's like, I was doing at the time what maybe I didn't even realize God was putting on my heart, was to do something good and to be a bright light in this world, you know, for faith and look a little bit different, you know? And when it didn't go that way, I was like, this is all bad. But I think I learned that, like, I was doing what I was supposed to do. what they did with that, that's between them and God. Like, you know, when you give money to somebody, you know, on the street corner or whatever, you have to be willing to give that away because it was something that you felt you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Give it away without strings or expectations. You know, are they going to go have a meal like they say they will? Are they going to try and do something good with their life like they say they will? Are they going to go drink it or drug it? I don't know. And so at that point, I have learned that, like, my responsibility is to do what I think God is putting on my heart to do, and then let the rest go, mm-hmm. and be done with it from there. Because otherwise, you can, when people don't meet your expectations, which we talked about on the podcast the other day, when they fail to meet your expectations, then it makes you actually angry and jaded, and that's not healthy either. So that's just a little bit of advice for today. When you don't let it stop, don't let those things stop you from doing good things and doing what God tells you to do, just because people maybe abuse it or what have you.
We could be ranting, we could be screaming about something.
We're not ranting,
and we're in here giving out spiritual and life advice.
There's children here. There's children here, so I'm trying to be on my best behavior today.
Killing it.
Yeah, thank you. Do you have any birthdays today?
I did not have any birthdays.
Are you kidding me?
Do a question.
Let's
if
do
you
a
want.
Question. Let's go.
Okay. Let's go. See. And keep it simple. Okay. There it is. I was looking at the wrong thing. Who is the one person that you haven't had on the show that you would like to have on here someday? I've got my answer.
Oh, really?
I was thinking about it. It might be the same as yours if you want to go first.
No, you go ahead.
So I still would love us to have Nate Bargatze on here someday.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Just yes.
Because he fits the bill of clean comedy.
Yes.
We adore him and play his bits all day. I mean, I think I heard you listen to at least 5 minutes of his content today and laugh your face off.
Yeah, thank you.
It.
Yeah, and my hiney. Yeah. I know that's what you're going for, but
kids in the room.
I know, exactly. Like that is a great one. I didn't even think of that one.
And I think that he would be somebody that probably a good chunk of our audience, whether they know him because of us or they just know him because, you know,
because
he's huge, and if you want to watch comedy, you can watch him and not be worried.
I would be nervous to interview him. And I mean, I've talked to everybody from Robin Williams to Rob Zombie to, I mean, classics in our thing, Michael W. Smith, actors, you know, like I've hit the gamut of people. And the only ones I was really nervous to talk to was Michael Sweet from Striper, of all people, because I loved Striper. They were a big part of my life. And sometimes when you meet people that you like, you're wondering how that interaction goes. And if it doesn't meet your expectations, then you're like, oh, nuts. It was a bummer. And so he was one. But Bargatze is so funny to me. Like the other day, one of his things came up on my phone. My wife was with me, and I was repeating it line for line. And she's like, you need help. And I'm like, I
know,
right?
That's me with Bluey, though.
I know.
Also,
you don't want to meet Bluey. Don't meet Bluey. That'll be so depressing. but like, so while I would love to have him in, I fear that I would because I know not to try to be funnier than a comedian. When you have a comedian in, the worst thing you can do, I see radio guys do this all the time. They'll have a comedian in, and then they try to be funnier than them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, and it just becomes this yuck fest, and it's horrible radio. And so I would try not to do that, but then I feel like I would fear being uninteresting him, you know?
Because in general, I think, like you've said it your whole life, that you survive, you thrive on, you know, like turning towards funny and turning towards comedy. And in general, you're probably the most like dominating and, I don't know if this ego boosting, like funnier people.
I like
in
where you're going.
The room.
I like where you're going.
Per se.
Betty would never allow this, so I'm glad she's not here today.
I know. But like, I still love and want my job. And she's got, you know, a ton of credit.
Yeah, she's fine.
So, but I think that you do.
You still need to suck up a little, so that's good. You're doing great.
It's been 5 years and I'm still
there, but you're still you're getting there and you're killing it. I think for the record,
I got to get to 30 before I. But got to have a kid so you feel guilty.
Maybe so, yeah, if I let you go.
But I think you're good at interviewing, and I feel like you could just interview him well.
Yeah.
I think that that's probably why I would want him to be in here. Because I would. One thing is, I don't think he'd come in here, and I wouldn't sit here and be like, this guy's going to tell the funniest jokes, he's going to do this, but I think we would inherently laugh at him.
Right. Yeah, because he is funny.
Yeah.
Like, although like his podcast, I like his stand-up way better than his podcast.
Because that's just normal life stuff.
It goes to show you that it's tricky to do these things well. And I got to be, I got to tell you, Jane, will you come here for a second, please? Jane's still here, and I love that, that she's here with the family. Like, I have to tell you, I am dumbfounded. Honestly, like, we had, what, 4 million downloads last year or something of the podcast. The people that listen to it listen to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I do not, for the life of me, understand it. Because you have seen, you've literally seen, we finished the show. Mm-hmm. We were talking out in the other room. We come in here, okay, we got to do this. We got a couple stories. We goof around. Why do you listen to this? You listen to it intently. Please explain it to me, because I'm not that interested.
I think the aftercast part of it, it just kind of gives us a glimpse into who you guys really are. Yeah, mm-hmm. you're great on the radio, but you only have a short time.
Right.
You've got like 5 minutes in between, whatever. You know. But where in the aftercast, you have a little bit longer. And I love the rants. And I love I miss that
Betty would hate that too.
I know. I miss that Betty's not here, because we were listening to one of them on the way up, and my mom looks at me and she goes, "Why are they always trying to talk on each other?"
Yeah.
It was you, it was when you were sick. That was the one we were watching.
Yeah.
Listening.
Yeah. I didn't listen. And yeah. I don't ever listen.
It was so funny, because like she was like trying to get her point in, and you were trying to get your point in. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's just, it gives us a little glimpse into your lives.
Okay, well, that is helpful. We're doing market research here today.
Yeah, this is pretty good for
that
us.
That is helpful, because there are times where I'm like, I feel like we should be doing something different with this or whatever. So that's good insight. I appreciate that.
Can I ask one more question, too? So, because, you know, this is the aftercast, and then there's the normal podcast, which is just the show cut up
into
bits and pieces, and it just jumps from action item to action item to action item. Is that fun to listen to for what it is, and then you feel like you just, like you said, you have this different almost theme when it's a sit
when
down.
I'm listening to the show, the actual show, if I'm on, because I usually listen from the app.
Okay.
So when I'm listening to it, I'm usually at work, and I don't always get to hear the fun stuff in between the songs.
Oh, right.
But I love the songs because it kind of helps me get through my day.
Sure.
But then I like to listen to what you actually talked about. I love the games. Those are my favorite.
Oh, really? Sure. Okay. Which game do you like?
I like the age game.
Oh, Famous Ages? Funny. We were supposed to play that, and then Betty was sick, so we had to do Will Gavin Get It instead.
Those are my... Oh, I like that one, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
Gavin's pretty smart.
Yeah.
I'm not, though, and that's the fun part.
I know. Yeah, I'm being very ironic when I do that setup.
I had to ask Zach one time. I emailed him, and I was like, I don't understand. Why do you have... it was the DJ... It's Beat the... It was when you were doing...
Smarter Than a Jock?
Smarter Than a Jock. Yeah. I'm like, why do you have that? He's not a jock. He doesn't have any sports knowledge.
And
it was a disc jockey. And I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It took me a while to... I learned a lot of radio.
I had to ask Zach that. I was like, I don't understand.
Oh, that's
and then
funny.
He told me, and I was like, okay, that's
pretty good.
That's funny. Awesome. Yeah.
Because you don't do that one anymore.
No, we do it every once in a while. Smarter Than a Jock, we just did that last week.
The last day Betty was here.
We did it Monday.
Oh, okay. Then we didn't get to it yet.
Yeah, we have we try to rotate things and do things, and sometimes things are more like top of mind or sometimes things necessitate quickly doing something, like pivoting to do Gavin Get It was a necessity that day.
And sometimes we fall into the, you know, the pitfalls of doing some stuff that is just like, you know, doing the same things more often, because they're fun.
We have to watch out for that.
Yeah, but it's fun.
We try to.
We find games where like, oh shoot, we haven't done blank and blank and a year or so.
Oh yeah, like we'll go back, because I keep like pretty good records on stuff, and we'll go back and they'll find the audio and be like, oh, that was 5 months ago when we did that. Like, oh good, it's
time to do it
again. And
sometimes in our brain we think it was just last week or something.
Oh, I don't know how many times I've had Gavin look for video. I'm like, dude, we did it like 2 weeks ago. I know it was like two, maybe three, and he'll go find the audio. He's like, that was March, you know? I'm like, oh my goodness, that's like almost a year ago.
I liked when the guy had asked about the Skittles rap.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he looked it up. It was really great to have that back.
Skittle diddle doo, skittle diddle doo. Yep, taste the rainbow from Madomio. Yeah, I do like doing the parody stuff. I'm working on a new one now to I thank God, that song by House Fires. I wear Crocs. Oh. So that's what I'm going for, is like a Croc one. I know, exactly. Zach would be great for that. So he'll be my muse, my inspiration.
He can be in your video.
That's it. I'll just look at his feet and I'll get my inspiration. So, all right. So with that said, let's do some, because it's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Weekend plans. Everyone's got them. Weekend plans. Bye. All right. So, Gavin, weekend plans, go.
We're going to go up to Evansville, Indiana, sometime after work today. We have our friend's baby showers tomorrow, so Haley will go to that. I will be joining my buddy at a golf simulator to enjoy guy time there.
I need to start writing these down, because again, I get quizzed every day.
Tell her to listen.
And my wife quizzes me every day. She's like, what's Gavin doing? I heard the kid. I listened to him. I looked in his eyeballs when he said it, but I've forgotten it because I had 15 other things.
Mm-hmm.
So now you
repeat it back to me?
No, a baby thing.
Close enough.
Okay, and then golf simulator. Yeah. Okay.
You just have to say golf.
Yeah, what was the baby thing?
That's the baby shower for our friend's kid.
Oh, not yours.
Not ours.
Yeah, that seemed early to me.
We're going to do one in, it's going to be like May for Haley's family, and then one in June for Nashville people. You want to come?
Sure. I'm good for some money or a present. Like, but you don't even, you know what, just, you don't even have to invite me. I'll just send you something.
I've got this little Bronco rocker that I
yes, okay. You tell me what you want. You send me a good list, I'll hook you up.
I do not. I look forward to our shower, but also I think that'll be the day that I'll probably go golfing.
I know. I had to come
back for presents.
When we had Haley, that was just kind of the starting of couple showers. Now it's a big deal. Unfortunately, they didn't have gender reveals when I. You're not going to do that. Your gender reveal is going to be at the birth. So
yeah, we're going to find out.
You need
a
confetti cannon.
I'm going to have both.
Yeah.
And when I'm like in the room and I'm going to have someone out there and I'm like, it's a boy.
Yeah. Oof. It should be like
Haley's just in the most pain she's ever had.
You should just have two like baby pools behind you, one pink and blue, and whichever one you pass out into is what you're having. Because I don't think you're gonna make it.
Yeah, I haven't decided how I'm gonna straight up handle that day. I know that I'm squeamish.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I broke my toe.
Yeah.
5 years ago, and my mom was taking off the wrap, and she was like, "Get him a bucket. Get him a bucket." I didn't even break the toe. I didn't do anything like that. She was just taking it off. And even the night before, I had stubbed it.
Funny.
23-year-old
That's
guy
funny.
Living at home. And I'm in the bedroom just... I'm like, "Oh, can you lay with me for a second? I'm not doing it so well." It was the next day. We were just like, I don't know if he broke. Oh, man. I've pinky toe, too.
I've split my leg open before, and so I saw like blood and... bone and stuff, and that made me queasy. Like, so that was like that. Like, I do all right with it, but like when I get like a lot of blood and it's my own, I can handle other people's. But when it's mine and it's leaving my body, I might need that.
I really haven't seen mine for like a while now. And I'm good to keep that up.
Yeah, I'll get queasy. I've gotten hurt a couple of times riding. Like mountain biking, that I got a little queasy when I got hurt because I didn't want to see what I had just done to myself. That's always the worst, is the look. You're like, "Is it bad? Is it bad? How bent is it?" And you look at it, you're like, "Okay, I'm going to be all right."
I always, like, I'll, you know, twist my ankle or something. I forget where it was the other day, but I think it was on the golf course, and it was like a month ago, and I was like, "Oh, I topped the ball and it only went 5 feet." And I was like, "I'm going to go get that." I was so mad, and I started running, and I fell off the tee box. And my buddy's like, he had turned, he's like, "What? Why are you on the ground?"
Oh,
but I was on
funny.
The ground with my ankle, and I was like, "Oh my gosh,
it hurts so bad.
This is gonna be so bad." And then I got up and I was like, "Okay, we're so good."
Oh, that's awesome. I'm just gonna be trying to build some stuff. There's some things I want to challenge myself to build. I'm going to Rockler. I was trying to get there yesterday, and then work got in the way. And so this is the start of my week, and I got a meeting coming up, and I got a few other things I got to get set, and then I'm peacing out for the weekend.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try not to do too much work this weekend.
Yeah,
but then I got Day of Hope, so I will have to do work.
Cool.
Ah, good times.
It'll be good though. You'll have fun working on your project. I want to see pictures next week.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Yeah,
I want to be. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah. And, so
Betty's just going to be sitting in bed, probably.
Yep, she'll be back Monday. She should be. And then we will be good to go for Day of Hope. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I am looking forward to it, honestly, doing something like more serious all day. Like, if we were asked to do that all the time, I wouldn't want that. Because I truly do believe, like, the reason we structure the show like we do is that when you have those great spiritual moments, they really stand out. When all you're doing is heavy spiritual stuff, it becomes wallpaper and it doesn't land with people. But when you're goofing around about something and then all of a sudden something happens, you're like, wow, that was really cool. And you know that that's a God thing, you know? And so I am looking forward to doing a day like this. I think I have a feeling it'll be like a once a year kind of thing that they'll want to do. And I'm good with that. Like, I think it has its purpose and its place. And so make sure you're listening because that'll all get cut up for the aftercast as well. So it'll be like super like evangel-y.
I think that's a good word.
And that's not even a word.
Super evangel.
Yeah, super evangelical is what I meant. Yeah. So, or not, no. Well, yeah. That makes
it. It is. If you describe
that, makes it sound
as,
like we're going to be holding snakes and like going crazy at church. But it's more gospel-y. Let's say that it's more, but not like gospel like music. You know what? Just listen. Just do me a favor and listen because I have no idea what I'm saying right now. I'm tired. And
I think it'll be a good day though. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a fun day, and it'll be interesting to test and see what works and what doesn't work. And I think like you said, it will keep it very like show similar.
I think there could be some cool stories that come out of it. That's what I'm really looking forward to, is hearing people's stories that I think will be really cool. So anyway, all right, that's going to do it for the Aftercast. Have a great, great weekend, and we will see you on Monday. And as always, thanks for being a potty. So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine, and now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels, starring Hilary Swank, and she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess, but God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like... you got Blindside at one end, and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he had lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.